Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys. If you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, all the way from Las Vegas Metro Police Department, the founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. So thank you, Randy, for being on the show. Also, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger, former commander, LAPD. He is also at jeffwininger.com. The book over his shoulder for the video people, it is on Thin Ice. It's going to be released soon. And if you want more information, either go to jeffwininger.com or onthinicebook.com. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Also, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. And I think that we're entering our ninth week on satellite radio now, thanks to Compliant Technologies. So what a great ride this is being right now. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now just on the stream. Two Bells, they built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. And whenever Jeff Wininger's on the show, we're giving away a free $20 gift card, and that allows you to buy anything off our online store. The first $20 is on them, and you also get a free coolie as well. So we're looking forward to doing that giveaway today as well. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. Now, what in the world are we talking about? We got some interesting stories. The first one, Pastor Andy Oliver, he bills Pinellas County Sheriff here in Florida, $10,000 for staging at a St. Petersburg church. We're gonna dissect this one. And then we have a Reading woman arrested after assaulting a police officer with feces. Yeah, it's true. Then we have a machete and shotgun wielding guy. He's shot by police after he steals one of their cruisers. And hey, guess where the shotgun came from? You got it. It's a department issued shotgun too. Kern County Sheriff deputy shoot a guy wielding a rifle on top of a roof. Amazing shot. Cop that takes him out. Or that disarms him basically is using a pistol. Wow, rifle against a pistol, unbelievable. Then we got CHP, California Highway Patrol. They're paying $10 million for paralyzing a Salinas man that was high on meth and armed with a gun. And I still don't understand why they're paying when the bad guy had a gun pointed at him. Oklahoma City police released footage showing what led up to a deadly shooting of a rape suspect and then a double stabbing arson suspect fatally shot by Prince George deputies. So we'll get to as many of those as we can, assuming that we have time permitting. So at Creative Loafing Tampa, which is cltampa.com, Pastor Andy Oliver bills Pinellas Sheriff for $10,000 for staging in a St. Petersburg church. Now, this is the third story that we've covered in 3 weeks, and it is about there are some entities that are not up on local law enforcement supporting federal immigration control, working with ICE. They just don't want to happen. They don't want it to happen. We kind of started off talking about the mayor of Tampa hosting mayors from all over the country, and they came out with a kind of a referendum. This is what we want to do, and we don't want local law enforcement. They should not have to work with ICE and all these ideas they came up with. And of course, it was like their wish list. And then we had some stuff last week. We had Bessie Brantner Smith on the show, a retired sergeant. She's with the National Police Association, and they're backing a move that is opposite of this. And now, of course, we have this pastor, Andy Oliver. And there are a lot of flags in this article. We will uncover those and dissect those. So Allendale United Methodist Church, but not your typical United Methodist Church. There is a difference with this one. He says they welcome all, but Pastor Andy Oliver said the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office twisted that sentiment last week. Now, the church, usually adorned in rainbows and messages. So that's the first flag right there, saying that they're adorned in rainbows. Don't believe me, Randy. I looked that one up, and I got some more information on that. But usually adorned in rainbows and messages supporting its progressive activism, second flag, was used to stage more than a dozen sheriff vehicles on June the 17th. Now, Oliver, the pastor, he posted a video of himself while he's confronting deputies, who assured him that their presence was related to an investigation, but not to ICE raids, and they left at Pastor Oliver's request. So the third flag is this dude, this pastor, is walking up to confront deputies, and he's got some dude, a videographer, you know, filming all this thing. And that's the third flag. You know, who does that? And there's a reason. You guys will get it in a second. But even in a short time, Pastor Oliver claims that damage was done to his church. Now, He doesn't mean physical damage, which is what I thought. Wait till you hear this one. He says that many people, part of my church, do not feel safe around 20 officers with giant vans. I'm surprised you didn't say giant guns, right? People in the margins are often victims of policing and bad policing, but their presence did harm. Kids had to walk through all that. I mean, could you imagine? It's bringing a tear to my eye now. In Oliver's eyes, the sheriff should have to pay, so they send him a bill. So Allendale posted its letter to the sheriff's office. Now, they're making it sound like Allendale, the church, posted its letter like it was a group effort. I get the idea it was really this pastor that led the charge on this one. But they posted the letter. It included an invoice for $10,000. No property damage. There's nothing in the cars from the parking lot. They didn't use it as a holding facility and have people, you know, wreck the bathrooms and all that stuff. It's just the image of law enforcement being a deterrent for the kind of people they attracted to the church. And it says it's $10,000 of fee for unauthorized use of a private church parking lot. He cited disruption to community access operations and congressional use of property or congregational use of property. Goes on to say that he does not expect the sheriff's office to pay, but if the money comes in, that they're going to give it to an organization that provides legal support to immigrants. So instead of saying illegals, you know, they use the word immigrant. So the pastor suspects the staging may have to do with this recent protest of the sheriff's office working with ICE. The day before the staging, he was actually part of a protest outside the Pinellas County Jail. That was just the day before. And of course, Pinellas County Jail is run by the same guys that were out there with the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office for this thing. The bottom line is that they're not the stage in my church ever again. And if they do, we will trespass them, is what sheriff or what the pastor Oliver said. And I hope he gets his wish. I hope they never come back on his property. Now, in my little research about it, they call themselves a reconciling congregation, unconditional love without exclusion. And it goes on to say, whatever your race, ethnicity, economic situation, sexual orientation, Randy, gender identity or expression, background, or belief, age, condition, or ableness, whether single or partnered, you are God's beloved and are welcome. Now it goes on to say that they're building a new Allendale, a place without barriers, a sanctuary for all. And look, for as a guy that's a Christian that goes to church and stuff, God loves everybody, right? But when you go to the church, you have, if you're a Bible preaching church, there are rules of engagement in the Bible, and there are certain things that are outlawed and prohibited. I mean, it just, you know, some pastors like this guy, they want to include everybody, make it all inclusive, and they don't want to say it's wrong for you to do this, or Bible preaches against doing that. And that's what this guy's doing. So a lot of flags in this. Curious what you guys think. Of course, it's on the other side of the equation. You know, they want to support the illegals, and they're not talking about how we're paying for their Medicare. We're giving them stipends for where they live. We're giving them free cell phones and all the other benefits that they get, just by being here. Randy Sutton.
So this pastor is, he's an exhibitionist. He's looking for a platform. I love the hypocritical nature of this. I welcome everybody. No, unless you wear a badge and you're actually serving the community and you're putting your life on the line for my congregation, you're not welcome here. And so the hypocritical nature of this individual is on full display. But a guy like this, he can wait for a long, long time till the sheriff makes that check out. But the reality is that this individual is only cares about one thing, and that is his own ambitions for garnering attention for some nonsense like this.
Yeah, I fully believe he saw the opportunity. The sheriff's deputy is outside, grabbed some kid to film the whole thing with the whole intention of making this thing try to go viral and wanted to get some publicity over this, and just very, very disappointing. Jeff Winninger.
Yeah, no, I mean, I tend to agree that generally speaking, you want the church and religion to be neutral, and law enforcement, if at all possible, you know, find other locations rather than areas of where people exercise their religious beliefs. That being said, you know, generally speaking, law enforcement will contact people and get approval. But these officers, when asked to leave, when we're confronted, they cooperated and they left. I don't think right. You could ask for anything more. And the real issue that bothers me the most here is what Randy kind of talked about, how there is such a hypocrisy going on here. He's grandstanding. And, you know, although the law enforcement perhaps in the future would want to reach out and contact with them and get approval to stage there in the future. However, the etiquette that was used by this particular pastor was way off base, and it was self-serving. And I think it actually just, you know, it exceeds any fault that you can place on law enforcement in this particular instance. You know, it's unfortunate. And like you said, there were a lot of things that kind of keyed off to what his motivations in dealing with the situation the way that he did. It's you know, it's not proper etiquette, and you know, shame on him.
Yeah, the Sheriff Gilteri over here, good guy. He's got a great reputation. And Pinellas is, I mean, Hillsborough County, I mean, Pinellas is just the next county over. Churches over here work extremely well with law enforcement. I mean, they do our police funerals. They use us for staging, training. I mean, we have a fantastic relationship that would never happen at I won't say it would never happen in Hillsborough County, but it would never happen at the churches that I have been involved with that embrace law enforcement. So, yeah, it's very, very disappointing to see this happen. And at least it's easy to pick out the flags in this thing and what's going on. We're coming up on our first commercial break, so we're going to go ahead and cut to that. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as police officers, we all know where you can buy our gear from a lot of different places, and especially when you consider going online. But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, we give away a couple of Gauls gift cards every week on the show. So if you have family, friends, and loved ones, hook them up with a new Gauls gift card by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they will be your new best friends. And, you know, I remember back when they had these Gauls gift card, these Gauls catalogs that came through the mail. Now they've got the catalogs back, as I think Jeff knows too. So if you haven't checked out their gear, they pretty much have everything but guns and ammo, guys. Go to Gauls.com, and you'll be very happy that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block. We're joined by also Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro and former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. And we've been talking about a pastor in Pinellas who sent the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office a $10,000 bill because they used his property for staging. And he thinks that it scared off his parishioners from wanting to come in there and go to the church and feel safe. So that's what we've been talking about. Any more commentary, gentlemen, on this, or are you guys ready to move on to the next one? All right, I think that we're ready. I'm going to tell you guys a little story over the weekend. Right when the weekend was starting, you know, I've been drinking these Black Rifle energy drinks, and so there's one flavor I haven't gotten yet. It's the punch, and I go on my cell phone to order it, and I couldn't. My credit card wasn't saved on my cell phone, so I wasn't able to complete the order. So I didn't think, and like the next day, Patty tells me, my wife, that I have a package from Black Rifle waiting on me at the front door, and I'm like, what? And it's the same flavor that I was trying to order. I'm thinking, well, this thing. So I call up MVS, who's a listener on our show, and he's on Rumble right now. And he says, did you get it? So he ordered this. It's two cases I've had delivered to my two or three I've had delivered to my house from MVS. And so, yeah, he read my mind. It's kind of scary. He read my mind and sent me the case. So I got to tell you guys that this is called the Freedom Punch. And yeah, you won't find rainbows on these cans, Randy. No rainbows on the Black Rifle cans. And it's pretty good. And you know what? It does taste like a punch. It's completely different than the other flavors. So it's good stuff. So MVS on Rumble, I thank you. He's a great supporter of the show. So if you guys are ready, and look, you know, we haven't talked about the Two Bells giveaway as well. So if you guys, so Two Bells built our new online store at Leo Roundtable. If you're interested in winning the free $20 gift card giveaway and the free coolie from Two Bells, all you have to do is type in the number 2 and the letter B for Bell, and then give us your email address. I'll email that to you at the end of the show if you end up winning. Again, you're typing in the number 2 and the letter B in order to enter the contest. And I need your email address so that I can email it to you. It's a digital card code that you'll get. So thanks to Jeff and for Tracy at Two Bells for making that happen. So guys, moving along, we've got an update here. We've got at KRCRTV.com, a Reading woman is arrested after assaulting an officer with feces. I waited right till Jeff was taking a drink out of before I said that, and it didn't faze him. He just swallowed and gushed that substance down. Okay. Reading, California. So a Reading woman was arrested after a bizarre and violent confrontation with a police officer happened on Saturday afternoon. And according to the police department, it starts around 4:10 in the afternoon with the Reading Police Department officer. He's a patrol officer, and he's near a place called Clear Creek Market. And he sees a woman that's engaged in suspicious activity. She's behind a business. She is identified as a 35-year-old Ashley Fortner of Reading and was suspected of possible theft. And single guys, start paying attention to the story because I believe that she is now available in case you guys are looking for a hookup. So upon contact, Fortner responds incoherently, leading the officer to think that she's also under the influence of drugs. So when the officer attempts to detain her, she decides to flee. Now, despite him using emergency lights and verbal commands, so I'm suspecting he's in his car, she refuses to stop. So after he exits the cruiser to arrest her, she punches him in the face. And in a shocking turn, we're not done yet. After she punches him in the face, she reaches inside of her pants and she retrieves human feces and she throws it at the officer, striking him. So during the ensuing struggle, and I'm sure there was a little aroma going around the air during that fight, Fortner, the female, she grabs the officer's groin area and continues to resist arrest. Now, the officer eventually managed to get her in the custody. They both get minor abrasions, doesn't say where. Fortner, the female, was transported to the Shasta County Jail. Shasta, you just can't make this stuff up. And she's booked for felony assault on an officer, resisting arrest and being under the influence of drugs, and her outstanding warrants. And so that's the way that ended. Number one, I'm glad that this is not California. I'm glad that it's not Florida, it's California. So I just want to point that out. We have somewhat been redeemed here in Florida. But Jeff Wininger, I know you're from LAPD. You probably, dealt with this stuff all the time. I'd love to hear some personal stories, too, if you want to share them with us, but go ahead.
Well, listen, on this story, I scratched my head because I see three strikes. He first lets himself get punched in the face. And then as feces thrown on him, and then he allows his groin to be grabbed. I mean, at what point are you going to, follow through with what you're sworn to do? I just find it amazing. But unfortunately, during my career, I had feces and urine and people spit on me and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, it is part of the job. I mean, there was one time My gang officers went in foot pursuit of a guy with a gun. They tackled him, took him into custody. But when they landed on top of him, his shoulder became dislocated. And they requested my response. We had an RA coming, an ambulance coming. And he's laying there screaming. And I bend over. I said, listen, we got an RA coming. I mean, this guy, he gets a loogie and spits it right in my face when I'm mid-sentence, mouth open, goes right into my mouth. It was absolutely disgusting. So then you have to go to the hospital and you have to go through this whole series of, examinations and shots and stuff to make sure you don't get infected with anything he may be carrying. But it was absolutely disgusting. It's part of the job. But I got to tell you, it took everything I had just to keep my foot from starting in Maine, connecting somewhere in Missouri and following through all the way to Los Angeles.
Wow. Well, Randy, I know you've got stories that can top that, right?
Oh, I've had, what cops have to go through, and this is nothing new. I mean, law enforcement officers have had to deal with the worst of humanity ever since the first guy pinned on a badge, and this type of behavior, this disgusting behavior, unfortunately, it's the reality of law enforcement.
Right. Hey guys, we're coming up on a commercial break. So Randy, hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, and it stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries, and yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only deliver less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me. When it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up this week, July the 9th, I guess, it's going to be in 2 days, Bulletproof DUI Report. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro, former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. And we're talking about a story in reference. We got a California cop that pulls over a female, and she's already a bad girl. She's non-compliant, doesn't want to stop. And he thinks that she's on drugs. And then she punches him, puts her hand in her pants, and comes out with feces and hits him with that. And the fight is on. And she ends up grabbing him in the groin area. She ends up going to jail. And Jeff just told a very fascinating story about his LAPD days. And Randy was talking about his Las Vegas stuff. So Randy, the floor is yours.
So to show you how times have changed, let me relate a story to you. When I first joined the Las Vegas PD, now I've been a cop for 10 years in Princeton, and so I started all over, went to the academy. It's my first day in field training, and we make a stop, and I'm just supposed to watch, right? My FTO is the boss, right? Now, even though I've been a cop for 10 years, you're an observer at this point. And we stopped these three gangbangers and had them on the hood of the car, as we did back then. And one of the gangbangers spit near the foot of my FTO. And he hauled off and smacked the hell out of him. One shot right across the chops. And I was like, oh my God, right? he took the shot. He just kept his hands right on. And we kept on like nothing ever happened. And we filled out our field interview cards, got in the car. And I thought, wait a minute. Is this like a setup? am I getting set up here for something? So I said, excuse me, sir. I'm a little disturbed about what I saw. I mean, not that I was really disturbed, but I figured I better say something here. And he looked at me, started laughing. He said, he was showing us disrespect. And if you allow them to show disrespect, it escalates. That was de-escalation 30 years ago.
Wow. Wow.
So I'm just thinking about this creature in California, the butt whooping she would have took back in the day.
Wow. So I was working a prostitution assignment, and I had a girl that a street level prostitute that took me and my buddy back to her place, but she only wanted to do one guy at a time. And that was back when you would try to make as many cases as you could.
And you were in uniform at the time.
Yeah, no uniform, plain clothes, of course. So anyhow, so I go in the room with her first. He's waiting outside, and so we're negotiating, and we come up, we call it OTCP, off-the-grid commit prostitution. So we come up with the act and the price, and then he keeps popping, knocking. He wants to pop through the door, and he wants to say, hey, me too, you know, basically the me too thing, the same, you know, same element of the crime by him, but she's only going to do one of us at a time. So when we get the second case, and then her and I just in the room alone, the pimp starts to try to come in through the front door, and my buddy's dealing with him, and the door's locked, and the pimp's kicking in the door and stuff. And so I tell her who I am, and I badger, and the fight is on. And at this point, she had no clothes on. And we're fighting. We're all over the bed. The bed is just sheets and stuff. And so in the middle of the fight, I started to smell this aroma. And she was literally scared that bad, where she was just letting her bowels open and stuff. And to make it worse, it was that time of the month as well, which I later became aware of. So she gets up for me.
That's a lot to go through for a misdemeanor, buddy.
I can't hold on to her. It's just like a grease pig, right? And she gets to the window, and I swear she's about halfway out that window. And I'm thinking, there is no way I'm going to let this girl get away from me. I mean, how embarrassing is that going to be? So Jimmy's out in the front yard, you know, my partner dealing with the pimp guy. And he comes back and he helps me grab her. And dude, I had to take my clothes off, and I had to put a police, you know, jumpsuit on. And it was just everybody. I lived with the embarrassment from that, you know, for quite a long time afterwards, you know. But yeah, the things you do. For
and you've since been diagnosed with PTSD as well.
Yeah, it's a fun. Yeah,
I don't know. That kind of sounds like just weekend foreplay.
You know, street level prostitution was a blast. It was a blast. You had to be a really good liar, and you had to be quick on your game. They would grab your hands and, what do you do for a living? And if you said you did construction work and you didn't have any callus on, boy, the gig was up. If you had a white cop, black cop together, they typically thought that you were cops partners, you know, because they expected you to be, you know, the same race when you're riding together, all kinds of things. They'd look in the glove box. They'd look at your keys and see if they were like a rental car. They take the registration, say what year and make us this car. I mean, there are all kinds of things that they would do just to make sure that, you know, that you weren't lying and doing a gig. And yeah. All right. So I'm glad we got all that out of the way on this first one of the first stories anyhow. So anything else, guys, that you want to cover before we go to the a story with a video component? No? All right. I think Randy's going to have some PTSD after this episode, Jeff. We may have to get him some help, but let's see our next one. We have some stories with video components. So on this one right here, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter, machete shotgun wielding man shot by officers after stealing a Macon County Sheriff's squad car.
Pointed the shotgun out.
There's a lot to talk about in this one. And yeah, the article doesn't go far enough. They leave a lot of stuff out. So we're in Macon, Illinois. Oscar McCurry Jr., that's our bad guy. On May 3rd, he's armed with a knife. When Decatur police confront him in a gas station parking lot, our bad guy runs from the officers. It says he steals a Macon County Sheriff's Office squad car. He rams a Decatur police car. And then he points a police-issued shotgun at officers, prompting them to open fire on him. And it's still not done after that point. After being hospitalized, he's booked into the Macon County Jail over the weekend. So here's what happens. Deputies respond to the – and the video, thank God, only covers part of this. So deputies initially respond to a P&B gas station in Macon on May the 3rd. There's a person with a machete call and who had crashed their car into a semi-truck. So Sergeant David Pettinger gets there. And our guy has still got the machete in the sheath. He tells the deputies he thinks his daughter is being held inside the cab of a semi truck and she's being sexually assaulted. And that's why he intentionally crashed his car into the semi. Now, the owner of the semi, he lets the deputy search the cab. nobody's inside. And the sergeant said that the information still was not enough to quell our bad guy McCurry's, worries that his children were not in danger. So now the deputy calls McCurry's girlfriend and tries and trying to get this guy to calm down. But as the deputy gets off the phone with the girlfriend, our bad guy, he runs from the gas station on foot, and now he's in the middle of U.S. Route 51. And so a deputy maneuvers his squad car into the middle of the southbound lanes because he's trying to block traffic while this dude's out there with the machete still in the sheath and stuff, you know, but they block the intersection with a squad car. So Sergeant Pettinger said that our bad guy now unsheaths the machete. He's standing in front of the squad car that had blocked the traffic. The deputy inside quickly gets out to put distance between himself and the bad guy. So the deputy leaves the car. And apparently leaves the car unlocked and leaves the car with a police shotgun inside. And it just gets better. So our bad guy, making suicidal statements, refuses to put the machete down. A short time later, he opens the driver's side of the door. And this part's on video. He gets inside the car and he drives away at a high rate of speed. Wow. And so this cop that let him do this. So he aims his car at multiple squad cars as he's driving away, forcing deputies to take evasive action. One of the cars ends up in a roadside ditch. And then it says that it comes to an end, the chase, when he rams a Decatur Park police car. He rams him from the rear, knocks this guy into Tomorrowland. And this cop has got, you know, he's injured. He gets out of his car and stuff. But he disables both the stolen car and the Decatur Park police car. So there's like three agencies involved. While this is happening, our bad guy gets his hands on the department-issued shotgun from inside the cruiser. He exits, and you can see him putting it on the hood of the cruiser, aiming at cops that are responding to him and stuff. And he's got a bullet-resistant vest as well that he gets out of the car. Golly, can't believe this happened. So he ignores commands given by deputies. They end up shooting him. He drops the bullet-resistant vest. He drops the shotgun, and now he produces a knife. And they end up finally getting him into custody. And the cop that got injured, the Decatur Park police officer, he's going to make a full recovery. And our bad guy ended up being booked, and he had a prior felony conviction for burglary. So that's what happened. We got a little over a minute before we go to a commercial break. Randy Sutton.
Just a comedy yeah. of errors. I have a feeling that the Decatur Park police are going to be sending a bill to the other police agency
for $10,000
damages done to the
Well,
see, I don't know how this guy survived this.
I hold the best stories for when you're on the show, Randy.
Crazy, man. Yeah. Crazy. I mean, how this guy survived without getting killed by the police, beyond me.
Yeah, same here. We're not done yet, guys. Stick with us. Yes, we have another commercial break coming up. Please stick with us. This is getting really good, especially talking about this story. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about law enforcement personnel. And you know, as cops, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, the site, it's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Lieutenant Randy Sutton from Las Vegas Metro Police Department and former commander, LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. You know, guys, we've been talking about some pretty interesting stories. And, this last one, though, we talked about, well, there was a lot of moving parts, but in the end, we have a bad guy that runs on foot to an intersection. We have a cop that rolls up in a police car to block traffic to keep people safe while this guy's there. He's got a sheathed machete that he ends up unsheathing. So our cop decides to leave the police car to create distance for safety, but he leaves the car unlocked and leaves a shotgun in it. So bad guy helps himself, takes the car, running. Now he's aiming, trying to hit police cars from other agencies, from two other agencies. And he hit, and he puts one in a ditch, and then he collides with another car and puts that cop in the hospital. And then he gets the police issued shotgun, bails out with that, gets shot, and then he comes up with a pocket knife, and they end up ultimately putting him in jail. But I think Randy, I you were talking, and then I know Jeff's got to open mic too. But go ahead, guys.
Oh, I'm done. One thing: that the officer who lost his police car will never ever in his entire career live it down,
or do it again. Yeah, I would hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff Winninger.
I'd love to hear the roasting he's going to get at his retirement party, because that stuff is never forgotten. The one thing that struck me beyond the obvious, which was failing to control your car and to secure it, was the fact that the sheriff's deputies, they all were deployed with handguns. Not one had a long gun. And the only person I saw that showed up with a long gun was after the guy dumped the shotgun, as well as the bulletproof vest. And it was an officer that was wearing all blue. So he was probably a police officer of a neighboring jurisdiction. But this probably, would have ended much differently if these officers, I can only assume that they don't have long guns to deploy, because I would think that somebody would. If they do have them, they didn't deploy them, shame on them. But I suspect this may be an agency thing, that they may want to reconsider this. Because when this guy was standing behind the engine block, the hood of the car, which provides him cover, and he also has the vest that he's holding up with a shotgun, and he's pointing it at the officers, the fact that there wasn't somebody taking him out at that point, it was shocking. And it really put all of those officers at greater risk, even to the point where he leaves the cover of that police vehicle that he stole, and he starts heading down the street, and the officers will now have to follow him outside of cover. And even though he's dropped the shotgun, you don't know if he has a handgun on him, and we knew that he had a knife. You're just increasing the threat to the officers, and it's really the fear of having those long guns, because you don't want your officers to escalate. It's really by not having them, the incident escalates, because it could have been neutralized early on at the onset when he first deploys out of that stolen vehicle with the shotgun.
Yeah, there's a lot of takeaways. There's a lot that can be, learned from this thing. You brought up some good points, Jeff. The long gun thing, after a while, you're watching this thing go on for on and on, and I'm starting to think to myself, man, I haven't seen a long gun yet. I mean, from the cops, bad guy ended up having one. You hear the cops say, when he drops a shotgun, he doesn't have a weapon anymore. And then another cop, or it could have been the same cop, but someone verbalizes, no, he's got a knife now, And then you hear when they're towards the very end, you hear someone, there was some good communication, because you would say, we have a long gun to our left. We got a pistol. We got less lethal. You heard somebody at least being aware that we had a long gun. And then I looked all the way on the left, and sure enough, like you said, we had a cop with a long gun. Thank God, finally. But yeah, I'm wondering why no one, or maybe the long gun wasn't on the scene when he first bailed out with the shotgun leveled on the hood. That was kind of, he had that ballistic vest, and he had that engine block he talked about. He had a shotgun, and he had it leveled on the hood. Man, that was just a bad combination. So many bad things could have happened. And the other part about this is that people just don't, when you steal a police car, you've got a 3,000-4,000-pound, 5,000-pound, deadly missile. And then you've got all the crap they have inside. In this case, a shotgun. Maybe it's going to be a rifle. You cannot let people get away with that car. And I would like to think that we're all cops in jurisdictions to where we're justified in using lethal to keep the bad guy from stealing the car for some of those reasons. Even if there's no weapons inside of it, you saw how he's going after the cruisers while he's driving that, trying to take them out. That's reason alone to go lethal on that guy. So it's just the perfect trifecta. Hopefully there will be a lot of things learned, not just from this agency. I mean, there were three agencies involved in this, but hopefully from other agencies that are watching and kind of roundtable like we're doing. It's just scary. There's a lot to learn. Randy?
Yeah, let's talk about lethal force here for a minute, because we have seen, over the course of doing this show, how many videos have we looked at where we're all screaming internally, shoot him, use deadly force. And the issue is that our officers are afraid to use deadly force at the appropriate times. And we've seen this over and over and over again. And the more that there is emphasis on, quote, de-escalation and other alternative means, and the more that we vilify police officers, either internally or externally through the prosecution system, for using deadly force at appropriate times, we're going to see more and more officers who are in jeopardy because of it.
Yeah. And, you know, and for the listening public, they have to understand that lethal force does not mean that the officer has the intent to kill the individual. That just means that it's a level of force that could possibly result in that. And so the officers aren't trying to kill somebody. They're just using lethal force to stop the actions that are a threat to the officers or to other civilians. And by using lethal force, it's not necessarily an escalation of the incident. It's a de-escalation of the incident because you're neutralizing the threat. So it no longer can be, you know, can continue to escalate and move on and have other people at risk. So it's really the semantics of how you look at it. But Randy makes a great point that lethal force sometimes is often the de-escalation alternative that must be used. And there's too much hesitation these days at times.
Yeah, excellent point. Excellent point. All right, guys. Well, we've got we've just got, you know, 2 minutes left here. So I'm looking at our options, and let me just cover this one real quick here. KTVU.com, CHP, California Highway Patrol, they're going to pay $10 million for paralyzing a Salinas man that was high on meth and armed with a gun. So Salinas, California, of course. And remember, this is two stories back to back from California. So the California Highway Patrol agreed to pay $10 million to the mother after a jury found two of its officers violated her son's constitutional rights. They shot him nearly 45 times, paralyzing him, even though he was high on meth, armed at times with a gun, and later convicted of assaulting a police officer, also stealing a car, hit and run, and DUI. A federal jury on May 28th returned the unanimous verdict, finding damages of $9.2 million in the case of Ari Gold of Salinas. The settlement includes paying father and son attorneys Walter Walker and Jeff Walker of San Francisco. It doesn't get any better. Was agreed to on Tuesday in the San Francisco courtroom, and the judge was Judge Rita Lynn. The jury found that the officers used excessive force. They were negligent and assaulted Gold. The jury did not find that the officer supervisors were negligent. They also assigned roughly 20% of the blame to Gold, the bad guy himself, in the verdict. Gold's mother, Lisa Gold, filed the complaint in 2020. Her son was paralyzed after the shooting in 2019. He died in January of 2023. Walker said the jury was ultimately swayed by the fact that the CHP officers fired blindly 44 times in all at the 24-year-old man, even though he was high and armed. And it goes on to say that, and I know we're down on time, but it said that he went into a home. Well, there was a hit and run. Went into a home with a gun's drawn. Found Gold hiding in his grandmother's bathroom. He's high on meth and delusional. And it goes on to say that he there's a lot of drama, but that he had a gun and he pointed it at the deputies and stuff. So we have about 30 seconds. Randy Sutton.
It's incredible, but this is a jury, San Francisco jury, that you can't expect any common sense when it comes down to the jury pool there.
Yeah, I agree. Just a another learning note. So if you're a cop in California, you guys, you know, you've been forewarned. Another excellent show, though. Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, thank you guys so much. I do want to, we're going to be talking about the Wounded Blue. Jeff Winninger, you've got that book over your shoulder, On Thin Ice, and I know that we've got onthinicebook.com. Can you tell people briefly what it's about and how they can get a hold of it? Or I know it hasn't been officially released yet. And I know you're going to make that announcement on the show too.
Yes, I will, Chip. No, it's a book about some actionable solutions moving forward for law enforcement to be successful in the 21st century. And, you know, if you go to jeffwinninger.com or onthinicebook.com, you can put in your email address and be put on the mailing list.
All right. Thank you very much. Randy Sutton, you got a summit coming up, I think, and at the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. We're going to give a lot more information about that. But guys, he's got a summit coming up, and he also has a new book, Rescuing 911. We're going to be talking just a second more about the Wounded Blue. I do want to mention our sponsors, Galls, Compliant Technologies, Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells. We'll look for you guys tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.